This is Mark DiCiani. Welcome to my podcast series on drumming.
Today's podcast is titled Traditional, Matched, and Other Variations of Holding and Moving the Sticks. As a member of the Modern Drummer Magazine education team, I was asked to write an article back in 2012 responding to the question, is traditional grip a useful technique that all drum students should learn? Now, with an additional 8 years of research, observation, and teaching, here is an updated version of that article. Let me first make a general statement and say that good drumming is much less about the specific technique you use and much more about how you use it. There are examples of great drummers, strong and countless opinions, and good technique on all positions of the grip and stroke discussion. Recently, Modern Drummer magazine did an informal study and estimated that there are currently 2.5 million Americans who have played drums in some fashion, which would mean that there are about 2.5 million slight or large variations of how drummers hold and move the sticks. Although there are some large categories that many of these would fit into, there are limitless variations, most all of which work pretty well. Why? Because there is more sensory and motor cortex area in the brain devoted to the fingers and hands than to any other area of the body. So there are many ways to use your fingers, hands, and arms to achieve similar results. Our hands are much smarter than we think. Stick grip and stroke are not separate issues, but interconnected with one affecting the other. Holding the sticks is much more than simply a binary choice of using traditional or matched grip. And matched is not just a choice of French, German, American, Hinger, and Amsterdam grips. And by the way, these five grips were developed by timpanists for playing the timpani, which differs greatly from the drum set in many respects. The issue of technique and the mechanics of physical movement involve numerous physiological, biomechanical, and neurological components of how our bodies and nervous systems work and have evolved for centuries. Again, stick grip is not an isolated issue. How you hold and move the sticks affects and is affected by countless other factors, all of which are a part of drumming technique. Here are just a few, but not all. Finger, hand, wrist, and arm position and movement. Stick angle placement in the fingers and hand. The fulcrum. What is it and where is it? The first finger and thumb, second finger and thumb, first and second finger and thumb, back of the hand, wrist, other. The point where the stick rests on the thumb. Is it the middle, the tip, either side? Or maybe it doesn't need to rest on the thumb at all. If you are holding the stick between the thumb and first finger, is there a gap or no gap? The point where the stick rests opposite the thumb. The first finger, above, below, or in the crease of the first knuckle, in the crease of the second knuckle, using both the first and second finger. The height and angle of the forearm relative to the upper arm, torso, and to the drum. The position of the wrist and hand. Is it flat hand facing down, sideways facing towards the inside, somewhere in between those two? Wrist and forearm motion. Wrist stroke only, wrist with residual or intentional forearm motion. Upper arm involvement in the basic stroke and in movement between drums and cymbals. Third and fourth finger positions and their role in the stroke. The degree of tension in the fingers, hands, wrist, forearm, and shoulder. The position and distance of the elbow relative to the torso. Posture and preferred and optimal seat height and sitting distance and angle from the snare and foot pedals. And of course, equipment and setup. The sizes, heights, angles, and distance of the drums and cymbals. All aspects of technique and movement must consider and may vary depending on the instrument or instruments that you're playing. Timpani, concert snare, drumline, small jazz kit, small electronic kit, large tour clinic kit with triggers, and where all of the pieces of your instrument are positioned. The type of music and volume that you're playing is also a consideration. Mike Portnoy, Tommy Aldridge, Cindy Blackman, Carter Beauford, Dave Weckl, Matt Wilson, Steve Gadd, Sherry Maracle, Tommy Igo, Bobby Sanabria, Questlove, Charlie Watts, Annika Niles, and Gordon Campbell are all amazing drummers whose techniques are different from each other, but that perfectly match their drumming styles and goals. Together, my students and I analyze grip, stroke, and movement as completely integrated items in an attempt to identify specific elements and variations that work best for each individual. In addition to holding the sticks, there are also some unique combinations of moving them. For example, some drummers use traditional grip with an outside wrist turn, somewhat similar to matched grip, while some use matched grip with a more traditional inside turn of the left hand and wrist. The effect of stick choice is also a factor. Length, diameter, and finish, and even the drummer's age and physique, with traits such as hand and finger size, length of forearms, upper arms and legs, height, and body type all contributing. Other factors include open-handed or crossed hi-hat playing, the adjustment of stroke and hand and wrist position when playing the hi-hat and ride cymbal, range of loudness or volume of playing, and very importantly, the drummer's intent. When you think about all these things, you realize there truly are unlimited variations, which allow for room and flexibility for every drummer's individualized choices and personal tastes. The most efficient and effective grip and movement for each individual wanting to play the drum set may be different and cannot be prescribed with a one-size-fits-all solution, nor can they be gotten out of a book or determined only by standing or sitting in front of a drum pad, unless, of course, the goal is to only play the snare drum. Although there is no singular right or best way to hold and move the sticks, there are some general choices that are more efficient. There are ways that our fingers, wrists, and arms move naturally, our muscles, tendons, and ligaments function optimally, which, used in tandem, will result in more rapid skill development, better concentration on musical playing, and a lowered risk of injury. Whatever choices we make, we want our grip and stroke to be efficient, effective, comfortable, and done in a way that will not limit our self-expression and creativity as a drummer. We also want to take maximum advantage of the physics and sound qualities of the drums, heads, cymbals, sticks, and their heights and angles, etc. This may all sound very technical, and it is and it isn't. We don't want to try and rewrite decades or centuries of science, genetics, physiology, kinesiology, and medicine, but instead use all of this information to our advantage. As anticipated, we can't get very far into this conversation without bringing up the quote elephant in the room. Should the fact that you think of yourself as a right-handed or left-handed individual even be part of all of this? Decades of research by medical professionals, neuroscientists, neurophysiologists, geneticists, cognitive psychologists firmly point to the answer as being no. The drum set should not be cast as a right or left-handed instrument. Performers at the highest levels demonstrate equal facility with each hand, regardless of specific grip or drumming and musical role that each hand plays. Just watch any of the aforementioned drummers and try to identify which hand is, quote, weaker. Your preferred or dominant hand for writing, throwing a ball, or using a toothbrush should not be considered when making choices about how you play the drums, in the same way that hand preference or dominance is not considered for violinists, pianists, saxophonists, pilots, surgeons, astronauts, race car drivers, etc. As for fine motor skills, neurally, tactile acuity varies between fingers but not between hands. So the strength and coordination potential of each hand is the same. All of the empirical evidence also dictates open-handed playing for beginning students, not as a manufactured contrivance, but as the next neurological, natural, and musical step forward. I'll save an in-depth discussion about handedness and brain laterality for a future article. For millions of years, human bodies have evolved to move in a certain way, and we as drummers can utilize these to our great advantage. Although you can teach your hands, muscles, and tendons to move in some limited ways that are not the most natural, it makes so much more sense to employ them to move normally, comfortably, and safely to play the drum set. Again, though personal preference does play into this, how we use our bodies is either helping or hindering our drumming development and capability. Accepting the fact that some ways of playing and moving are biomechanically better than others, here is the one overriding recommendation I make to all beginning drummers and to those who have compromised technique and facility on the drum set. Use matched grip. Full disclosure here, I began playing drums using traditional grip, but have long since changed to match for all of my playing. Traditional grip can absolutely be mastered, and there are countless great examples of this. But it's a much more difficult technique to develop, with a higher risk of injury and possibly compromised movement. When starting off playing with traditional grip, you may be handicapping yourself by using a different stroke with your, quote, weaker hand than your dominant one. Again, weaker only because you may not use it as much in your life away from drumming. The weaker hand grip requires utilizing small, less used and evolved muscles moving in ways that they and the tendons are not at their most efficient. In so doing, your weak arm might never catch up to your physically more preferred dominant arm that is using the stronger, more evolutionary developed muscles. With matched grip, you use the same strong muscles and tendons in each arm, allowing your drumming skills to develop more rapidly and evenly. Contemporary drumming and all styles of music requires bimanual facility. When playing, our hands are coordinated but uncorrelated, meaning they share different parts of the same or similar rhythms. Consequently, there's no reason to learn a completely different technique and muscular neural movement for each hand. I won't try to change the grip of my students, but it is my responsibility to point out and explain all of the issues related to choices about technique, including sensory motor movement, physics, and sound, in order that they become knowledgeable and capable of making informed, educated decisions for themselves. Instead of handing down absolute edicts on technique, I prefer to help students think through issues in a more examined and objective way. Sometimes I'll ask a student why they're using a specific stroke or a particular technique, and they'll say something like, well, that's how I learned, or that's how it's done, or that's how, insert the name of your favorite drummer here, does it. These should not be the primary reasons for how each individual chooses to play. Drumming can be a complicated and difficult skill to develop, especially to a professional level, but also an incredibly satisfying and rewarding one at any level. The skill, technique, dexterity, coordination, and musical mastery required to perform in most settings today exceed those that were required 50 or even 20 years ago. The musical circumstances and equipment limitations that gave rise to choices about technique have changed. And as the music and equipment has evolved, so should we, continuing to grow and learn and improve our playing, learning, and teaching. Finally, there are those whose perseverance, love of playing, and indomitable spirit transcends all norms of technique. They are proof that desire and dedication are the most important ingredients, and which technique you use is less important than how you use it. Here are just three examples of drumming heroes whose determination, strength of character, and great playing is inspirational. Daniel Potts, who doesn't have arms and holds the sticks with his feet and plays incredibly well. David Siegel was born with arthrogryposis, affecting the development of his hands, legs, and feet, and required 20 surgeries. He has no right-hand wrist flexion and a virtually non-functional left hand. David leads Can Do Musos, Inc., an organization that provides guidance and hope to all musicians with challenges. Ray Levier, a world-class jazz drummer who had to learn to hold the sticks without most of his fingers after losing them in a fire. And the thousands of others who fight every day to overcome debilitating injuries, birth defects, and other physical and emotional roadblocks in order to do what they love, play the drums. In closing, technique and physical motor movement is a multidimensional, multivariant prospect with a high degree of latitude for individual choice and preference, ideally after full consideration of each choice and its consequences. Each choice we make produces certain results, but there is no one way to play. Feel free to contact me with your thoughts. I'd love to hear from you. Good luck and have fun. Thanks for listening. This is Mark DeChiani.